We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
And amen. Can you clap your hands one more time for the Lord? Oh, I can't get enough. Can't get enough of clapping my hands for Him, lifting my voice for Him, dancing unto Him, singing for Him. I love you, Jesus. Welcome, everybody, to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Want to welcome everybody that's online watching with us and everybody in the room. Can you believe it's November? Part of me is like, this has been the longest 10-year period of 2020 ever. And part of me is like, wait, that went by weirdly slow and fast all at the same time. I'm really lost with all of this. But in 2 days, we're going to have an election for our nation here in the United States. Yes, right. Now, I encourage you to vote. All right. But more than that, I encourage you to pray. Yes. And right now, let's have a word of prayer for our nation. We don't pray for a political party that one would triumph and another one would fall off a cliff. We don't pray that way. No. Not at all. But that truth will triumph. That freedom will triumph, and God's will triumph. So with all that said, will you pray with me, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for our nation. Lord, we're so thankful for the United States of America. Thank you, Lord, that we get to live in this nation and have these freedoms to vote. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that your will would be done, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that our nation would not be disunified, but that we would be unified. Lord, and we pray, Lord, that people that are fearful, that they would call on you and that they would find you. Lord, we pray that your gospel would be put on display by your church, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I pray for all my friends that are worried and fearful and anxious about this. In Jesus' name, Lord, by faith, God, we know that perfect love casts out all fear. And we ask you to meet all their needs, God, and to touch their hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, not to put our focus on a government, but put our focus on you, our King, in a coming kingdom. In Jesus' name, we pray. Everyone said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, please continue to be in prayer. Pray for peace. Pray for unity. You know, things are getting weird when Walmart takes all the guns off the shelves because they are betting. I'm telling you, Walmart is betting that no matter what comes on Tuesday, people are going to be crashing through their Walmart and stealing guns. That is why they take that off the shelf. That tells me one thing. Church, pray. Be people of prayer. Be people that bring peace into the world. That needs to be us. Is that all right? Is that okay? All right. Enough of that. We are starting a brand new sermon series. And it's not about politics. Thank goodness. Praise God. Our sermon series for the month of November is called Full. F-U-L-L. Everybody say Full. This year on the 26th. Of November, many people will gather around a table elaborately furnished with a grand meal. Somebody say amen if you're excited about the turkey. Yes. Amen. Somebody say amen if you're excited about the stuffing. Amen. Is anybody excited about gravy? Amen. There is a thing called giblet gravy. Can I get a witness? Can't. Oh man, there are sweet potatoes. My gosh, they put up those yams all kinds of different ways. There are rolls. There are green beans. There are casseroles that you only see this one time a year. But my goodness, will they be at the table? They'll be at the table. And we haven't even gotten to the dessert. There will actually be more food on the table come November 26th than you can actually eat. The average person will eat over 3,000 calories before they get to dessert. 3,000 calories, not in a day, in a meal. On this day, we eat till we are full. And why not? When you have a full banquet table, it makes no sense to leave empty.
That's right.
God has prepared a table for us, hasn't He? Doesn't the Word of God say that? The Lord has prepared a table before us, and He wants us to be full of all the good things He has cooked up for us. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about being full of mercy, full of grace, full of joy, full of peace. But today, we're going to start by talking about being thankful. Everyone say thankful. Thankfulness is an essential Bible teaching. I would tell you, we have not preached enough on the subject of thankfulness. When you think about some things that you don't preach enough, I do that as I go through the course of the year. Have we not really preached on that? Wow. But really, thankfulness is always high on that list. We don't think and pray and preach enough about the very essential subject of being thankful. Your Bible says that thankfulness is as important as worship. And it's as important as prayer. It's as an important subject as obedience and faith. God intends His people to be thankful. Here's some verses about it. Ephesians chapter 5:20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How often?
Always.
Thank who? Thank your God the Father. And thank Him in the name of your Savior Jesus Christ. For what? Thank God for everything that He is doing.
Amen.
Thank Him for everything that He is doing. Philippians chapter 4, 6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. I want you to notice something right here. Paul ties thanksgiving and thankfulness to prayer. As you are praying, you are making your petition known to the Lord with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving needs to be a part of your prayer life. Present your request to God. How? Thankfully. Not anxiously. Thankfully. Do you see that in the Word of God? And what happens next? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. My gosh, that is one of those verses you just need to get deep down in your heart. Anybody been anxious? Oh my goodness, you need some thankfulness in your prayer. And it starts with anxiousness, but prayer and thankfulness turns anxiousness into peace. Not just a peace that makes you feel good, a peace that guards your hearts and your minds in what? Not in what, in who? Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Oh, man. Don't you get this? Well, let's just go there. You think that your prayer is about getting the thing? Man, I'll feel so much more peaceful when I get the new car. That's not it. No. It's about the Jesus Christ that shows up and He guards your heart. And He's all those arrows of the enemy, He's like knocks them down. And all those things from the enemy that's trying to attack your brain, He guards them in perfect peace. It starts in anxiousness, but through prayer and thankfulness turns into peace. Colossians chapter 2, 6-7. This is our memory verse. How about that? So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. What are you overflowing with these days? You need to be overflowing with thankfulness. Do you remember when you first found Jesus Christ?
Look at verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. I'm telling you, when you first received Jesus Christ, Kathy, you were thankful. You were so happy. You should be like that right now. Just as you received Him right now. It might be 20 years later, 30 years later, but you are operating in that same dimension as when you first received Jesus Christ. And you are overflowing with thanksgiving. You know that you are thankful when it starts to spill over the lid. When you start to overflow. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, we were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I want to tell you, Thanksgiving is not a holiday that happens one time a year. We are to constantly be living in thanksgiving. We need to constantly be living in a thankful heart. Be thankful for the message of Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that message? Are you thankful to be in the house of God and hear that message one more time? Do you sing with a grateful heart? Do you just go through the motions? Well, we're singing. This is the time of service that we sing. Are you just opening up your heart and just love and thankfulness? We were singing about, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Are those just lyrics to you? Or is that your heart's grateful song to the Lord? And then it says, do everything in what name? Oh, in the name of Jesus. Do everything in that wonderful name of Jesus. And give thanks to God while you're doing it. Can we give thanks to God? In Jesus' name, we're doing this to you, Lord. We're thanking you, God, in Jesus' name. Hebrews 12, 28 through 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's a good reminder. Do you realize what you're receiving? You're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The next chapter, Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Continually, all the time, we're bringing a sacrifice of praise. And it's not a little lamb. It's not a little goat. It's your mouth giving thanks to His name. These verses just scratch the surface of Scripture's commands for us to be full of thanks. Our God has prepared a table. It is time to fill up with thanks. Let me ask you this. Who wants to find God's will? Anybody interested? Anybody ever spend time on that prayer? God, I want to know your will. There have been times in my life I've freaked out a little bit too much over that. Like, oh God, I'm petrified because if I make a step, it could be out of your will. I've been there. Oh God. I take it very seriously being in God's will. I want to tell you real quick how to be in God's will. Absolutely, simply falling off a log, never even have to second guess it. It's the Word of God. What should I do, God? You prayed that this week. Anybody? All right. God's will sometimes seems like a great mystery. Should I take this new job? Should I stay at my old job? Should I take my education in a new direction? Should I stay in my current field? What should I do about my problems in my relationship? What should I do that I have no relationship? What should I do? Does God want me to take a step into ministry? I've got two bills. I can't hardly pay one of them. What should I do? God, what is your will here? Scripture solves the mystery of God's will for you in one verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I take that literally. In every circumstance, be thankful. This is God's will for you. The same writer, Paul, he tells us that he has learned to be content in all situations. He says, I can go through anything because I know this. Christ gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me His strength. He's found the secret to being content in all situations. And He's now looking at us and He's saying, in every situation, be thankful. I can't tell you if God's will is for you to take the new job or not. That I don't know. But here I do know. God's will is for you to be thankful as you are deciding. While you stand at the crossroad and you're trying to figure out direction, God's will right now for you is to be thankful. Go ahead and thank God while you are waiting to hear His voice and to see His hand. God, I do not know where the rest of my journey goes, but I am thankful that You've brought me this far. I'm so thankful that I'm in this day. You said this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Thank You for another day, Lord. And I am thankful that You are with me. And I am thankful that You are for me. And I'm thankful that You are not far from me. Let's flip it on its head. You can't be in God's will if you are unthankful. If you really want to be in God's will, you will be thankful. If God tells you to go left, everybody look to the left. God tells you to go to left and you go left. Good on you. That was great. But if you do it with an unthankful heart, you are out of God's will, even if you're going left. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Being thankful is that important. Yeah. You may have walked into church today. You may have turned on this live stream today, completely unsure of the will of God. But as you began to worship, as you began to thank God, as you began to do these things, you may not have even realized it, but your life, your heart, your mind, your strength, your soul started to shift and to come into alignment with the sovereign will of God. I believe that with all my heart. I am telling you, somebody that has been away from God for 40 years, and for 40 years, God says, go left. And they're like, absolutely, I'm going right. They spent 40 years doing that. I am telling you, they could come into God's presence, sing the same songs that you sing today with a heart of thanksgiving, and things will start to shift in their life. I'm telling you that in one moment of thanksgiving to the Lord, it can overcome a lifetime of going right when God told you to go left, and it can bring you right into alignment with the sovereign will of God. Gosh, Ashley, I think you'll relate to this. I, I told you I worried about God's will, prayed about God's will, because I had a false concept in my heart. Teresa had this false concept that, oh no, I kicked the puppy and now I'm out of God's will forever, or I did something that was out of His will. And once you're out of His will, you are out of His will forever. Wrong! Wrong! Wrong. Isn't that great about our God? You can be out of His will today, but start thanking Him in your circumstance, and you will find yourself back in His will. I said that, actually, because you kick puppies all the time. That's not true. That's not true. She is too sweet. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You don't even understand it, but things begin to shift in your life when you say those words. Thank you, Jesus. Wake up in the morning. Say, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Grew up with a lot of old-timers that say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And I didn't understand it as a kid. I'm beginning to understand it all the more the power of those words, thanking God for just another day. A lot of people are like, get me out of 2020 as quick as you can. No, Lord, I'm just in another day with you, Lord. I don't care what the calendar says. This is the day you've made, and I'm thankful for it. I don't want to fast forward any day. I want to experience every day with you. Now, our verse that we just read it, it says, in every circumstance. I want to point out to you, it doesn't say for every circumstance. It's a little different. A little difference in these words. In, not for. Find thankfulness in the circumstance. Thankfulness does not come from the circumstance. Thankfulness doesn't come from the circumstance. You can have the worst circumstance and still find thankfulness for the circumstance. Because of the circumstance. No. In the circumstance. Scripture is not telling you to be thankful for, but in. We have all had a loved one fight cancer. I believe that's true, right, everyone in this place? God does not want you to say, thank you, God, that my loved one has cancer. That's not it. That's for a circumstance. No, let's be clear. Cancer is the enemy. God's not for cancer. Nor did God give that person cancer. Let's just get real right now. I believe that with all my heart. You don't believe that? Let's have coffee, because I want to help you. God doesn't give people cancer. He takes cancer away. That's what He does. He delivers them one way or another. Cancer is the enemy. I am not thankful for cancer. We are not thankful for cancer. But while we are not thankful for the circumstance, we can be thankful to our Lord and Savior in the midst of the circumstance. God, I'm thankful for every day that I have with my loved one. Every day. They might have only a few days. Guess what? You don't need a doctor to tell you that for that to be true. We may only have a few days, any of us. Are you thankful for your loved one today? Be thankful in the circumstance. I'm thankful for our medical insurance. Yeah. Absolutely. And the people around us that are willing to help us and able to help us. Yes. As your loved one has cancer, you can totally not thank God for the cancer, but thank God that you have help within the circumstance. God, I'm thankful for the stripes of Jesus. Yes. I'm thankful, God, those stripes, your word declares, they bring us healing. And I'm thankful that if even the worst happens, you have already promised us the best. And the best is a resurrection with you in heaven. I'm thankful for the promise. God, I don't understand the situation. Don't understand it. I don't understand why. Don't understand how. Don't understand when. Don't understand what. Don't understand where. I don't understand any of those. But God, I trust you. Amen.
thank you that I've got a trustworthy God. I'm thankful that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Give thanks in all circumstances. In, not for. In every circumstance. Why? Because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Be thankful. Be thankful. I'm telling you, you got the circumstance and it's a doozy. It's bad and you want to get out of it. That's good. God's going to get you out of it one way or another. God's going to get you out of it. But before He gets you out of it, learn to be thankful. Really get all you can out of this situation. Get the biggest victory possible. Get thankful before the problem leaves. Get thankful before the answer comes. Be thankful. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Can we talk about election sadness and madness for just a moment? We're days from the end of a long, drawn-out election cycle. I would go for anything right now that would push elections maybe back 10 years, just maybe 10 block times rather than 2-year periods. Personally, I'm just, whoa, they just come. And when they come, they just sit for like a entire calendar year. We're right at this place. In a matter of days, roughly 50% of our country will be happy with their candidate, and another 50% upset that their candidate lost. Y'all agree? I mean, it's roughly 50%. And the way we will then all respond to each other, either in person or on social media, has the potential to make 100% of the populace sad, mad, or just flipping out crazy. Gone from 50% to 100% pretty quickly. It's that extreme. Christians, we cannot fall into the pattern of this world. We need to be transformed. Our hope has never been in an election. No matter the outcome, I charge you to be thankful. And can I tell you, if you feel that as a challenge, then you need to hear that. If you keep constantly feeling anxious about this thing, that's just a little warning in you that you are thinking more about putting more hope in a political party than you should. Jesus. Newsflash, don't do that. Don't do that. If you have struggled with that, then you need to spend some time having a little talk with Jesus and thanking Him before it, thanking Him during it, thanking Him after, in every circumstance. Be thankful, because no matter what, God is still on the throne. Be thankful that we live, and we do live. I say this, I'm not putting on when I say this. We live in the freest country on the planet. Be thankful about it. And you have the freedom to preach and worship Jesus openly. We literally are serving other men and women who are in churches, in cities, in nations where they do not have this freedom. We are literally in communication with people that we cannot say their names. We cannot say the name of their country, because they will be moved out of their country, or worse could happen to them. That is not our situation. Nobody was worried today about somebody coming in here and shutting us down for giving praise and honor to Jesus. Are you thankful for that? We need to be thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. We live in the most prosperous nation on earth. Thank you for that, God. Thank you. Moving on to this subject. Be thankful for the unseen. Everybody say the unseen.
The unseen.
Oh my goodness. The unseen can be kind of creepy. Kind of scary. Remember the early days of COVID? Stupid little fears. Irrational fears. Anybody deal with little irrational fears? I'm like, I went, was one of the first times I went back into
a Walmart. Bum, bum, bum! During COVID, one of the first times I went back to Walmart, I was just walking, I'm trying to shop, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it could be here. Right now. I thought these things. I'm like, what are you doing? No, I thought it. I absolutely thought it could be here. It could be on the cart you're pushing right now. Oh! Not the milk! Drop it all over the ground. No, I have these thoughts because the unseen is scary. I want to challenge you today. Be thankful for the unseen. God, what am I going to do? I don't see a way out. God, I'm trying to accomplish this thing. And reminder, God, you gave me this thing to do. I'm now trying to accomplish it, but I'm not seeing results. What am I supposed to do? God, you promised, and I don't see it. I want to tell you that you can thank God for things you don't even see. Psalm 100. We're going to spend some time on this verse. I guarantee you, you've heard this verse before if you've ever been around a Bible. I'm talking if a Gideon Bible in a motel room fell open, you've come in contact with this verse. It's Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. What are God's gates? And enter his courts with praise. What are God's courts? Gates and courts, what are they? Well, the gates are the 12 gates to the city of Jerusalem. That's what they are. The gates of Jerusalem. What are the courts? The courts are the outer, the inner, and the innermost courts of the temple, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of the Lord. You follow me so far?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about it. When an Israelite wanted to have their sins forgiven, they would need to go to the temple that was in the city of Jerusalem. Many Israelites did not live in Jerusalem, so they would need to travel to Jerusalem. They called this a pilgrimage. Israelites from the outskirts of the nation of Israel. They lived far on the outskirts of that nation. And Israelites who lived actually in other nations, far away nations, would travel. And they'd travel a great distance to meet God, offer their sacrifice, and have the sins of their entire family atoned for. Wow. What a big responsibility. All right, Dad, don't mess this up. If you mess this up, our sins are not atoned for until next year. It's a big deal. They would travel. Imagine with me a pilgrim taking the first step of a several hundred mile journey. And with that first step, they can't see the gates of Jerusalem. They're hundreds of miles away. They can't see the courts of the temple. They are literally walking in the unknown. They are walking in the unseen. They hope that their journey ends with those gates and with those courts. But for now, they don't know what they're going to run into. The story of the Good Samaritan, the one who ran among thieves, could have been one making such a pilgrimage. You could run into God knows what along the way. There is unseen around every corner. The psalmist says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We can read that as thankfulness is something we bring with us. You could look at that way. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Here's thanksgiving. I'm bringing it with me. Perfectly acceptable, but let me give you another way to understand it. You could also understand it as thankfulness is something that we come by. That thankfulness is the vehicle that takes us to the gates. Thankfulness is not something that shows up at the end of the journey.
No.
Thankfulness is not something that shows up when you finally, have taken that last step and you're suddenly inside the gates, and then confetti drops and a balloon's drop and surprise, thankfulness has arrived. No, it does not work that way. Thankfulness is meant to be in every step of the journey. The first step of the journey. The second step of the journey. The third, all the way up into the gates of that city.
Yes.
Thankfulness is actually the vehicle. Thankfulness is actually what is carrying you towards the gates of the city. Enter his gates by, through, with thanksgiving. The pilgrim takes the first step in that journey, even though they don't see the journey's end. They know. They know some things. They know that there is a God on the other side of this journey. And they can be thankful. They know that on the other side of this journey, their sins will be forgiven. And they're here on step one because they can already be thankful. Even without seeing it, they can be thankful. With and by thanksgiving, they enter into his gates. You are in a journey right now, aren't you? You don't see the end, do you? Sometimes you don't even know the next turn. Sometimes I feel like Bugs Bunny in the cartoons. He comes up out of the ground with Donald Duck. And he's like, Daffy Duck. Get it right, Pastor. Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. And he's like, and they pull out a map. And they always make a wrong turn at Albuquerque. Always Albuquerque. I feel that way sometimes. I look at my map and I say, oh, I made a wrong turn at Albuquerque. That's me, because I don't know what's going on enough in my life. I don't know how this journey ends. I really don't even know the next thing that's going to come my way. How am I going to react? How am I going to do this? But let every step of your journey be full of thanks. Stop saying or stop acting this way. You know what? I'll be thankful when this is over. We say that, don't we? Man, I'll be thankful when this is over. No. Be thankful now. Now. His promises are true. Not later, but now. I can do all things through Christ. Not just later, but now. This trouble won't last always. God is for me. He's not against me. Heaven is real, and I'm going there. The things that are seen are only temporary, the Bible says. But the things that are unseen, they are eternal. And God has some eternal, unseen blessings for you around the corner. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment. Thank you, Jesus, for this promise. Thank you, Jesus, for an eternity with you. Can we thank the Lord right now in this place? Oh, we're not going to wait till it's over. We're thankful now, Lord. We're thankful now, Lord. We're thankful now. Back to that pilgrim. First step. He can't see the gates, but the gates are reality. They're real. They do exist. You can't see the results, but the reality, it's real. I'm thankful that one day, if I don't grow weary in well-doing, I will reap a harvest. It's reality. The promises of God is not just some wishy-washy cloud in the sky thing. It's real. It's tangible. One day, it will show up and you'll go, there it is. I knew it was around here somewhere. Pilgrim. You've put a lot of steps behind you, but this journey, it's still worth finishing. It was worth starting, and you're in the middle of it. Let me encourage you, it's worth finishing. Traveler, you have a lot of steps in front of you, but I want to tell you, you know what's in those steps? There are miracles ahead of you in those steps. There are testimonies ahead of you in your steps. There are yet some victories for you ahead in those steps. Don't you dare turn around. Have you ever met a senior Christian who has lived for God so many years, yet they're still passionate? Yet they're still excited about the Lord? I'm so thankful I had a grandmother like that. My gosh. Whoa, so thankful. I was surrounded by a cloud of witnesses of people that have gone through a lot. But you know what? They didn't dwell on all their problems. In fact, they were so busy carrying the burdens of others. Everyone else with problems went to them. And they would go tell them about the goodness of the Lord. They would pull out their biggest heartaches to bring hope to people. I've seen it. You know, do not make the mistake why they were happy in Jesus. Don't make the mistake believing the wrong thing. It's not because they never faced heartache. That's not. It's not because they never had a trial. It's not because they never were lied on, talked about, and mistreated. Nope. It's not that they never suffered loss. It's not that they've ever never been disappointed. It's none of those things. The reason why that senior child of God is still joyful, happy, and on fire is so simple. It's because they are thankful. They're thankful. Oh. Unthankful people are unhappy people. Thankful people are full of joy. And you're always like, what is it about those people? Let me spell you out. They're thankful. They are thankful. Be thankful. You could be more like those people. Just be thankful. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. When the weary pilgrim finally reaches the gates of that holy city, he then goes to the heart of the city, to the temple. Inside the temple, he finds the very presence of the Lord. God was his destination all along. Everyone said destination. I want you to understand this. When you enter his gates, it is by thanksgiving. But you enter his courts with praise. Let's say it another way. Your journey is in thanks. But when you reach your destination, thanks transforms into praise. Thanks transforms into praise. You listen, because we get this about 100% wrong. We drag ourselves through the journey. Oh, I'm still on this journey. I'm still through school. We're still having trouble in our marriage. Oh, the church hasn't grown like I wanted it to in my ministry. We're just dragging ourselves through the journey. And we think that when we finally reach the journey's end, when we finally reach the destination, and the miracle happens and the good things happen, then we'll be like, oh, thank God that's over. It's true. Doesn't get many amens online church, but it's true. We drag the whole way and then we're like, oh, thank God. That is not thankfulness, by the way. That is just... You use the word, but like Princess Bride, I'm not sure you really know what this word means. You are meant to triumphantly thank God through the journey. And when you reach his destination, you praise him. You praise him because he is God. And you know that he's the only reason you made it through. Stop giving God a weak, thank God I'm making it through that. No, triumphantly stand up every day and thank God. And I'm telling you, the thing that we're really missing then is because we give a half-hearted thanks at the end of it. You should have been giving him a triumphant thanks every day. And then when you really reach that destination, praise starts flowing out of you. Worship starts flowing out of you. It is magnificent and it's glorious. And everybody's like, whoa, look at Marshall. What's going on with Marshall over there? What's going on with Adrian? Whoa, because praise is flowing out of them. There's a transformation. Oh my gosh. Don't you realize we're walking in faith. We're thanking him in faith, but receiving it in person. Man, that ought to light you on fire. That ought to just be the most passionate display of praise ever. Say these two words, miraculous thanks.
Miraculous thanks.
Do you understand that your thanks is a miraculous act? Your thankfulness does more than get you through the journey. Your thankfulness moves the very heart of God in heaven, and then he facilitates your journey. There were thousands of hungry people listening to the Lord teach. Anybody know this story? Matthew chapter 14, 15 through 18. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "There is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." Disciples are ready to just shut it down. Shut it down. It's the sensible thing to do, Jesus. But Jesus replies, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Gosh, you bring Jesus a problem. He's like, "You do it." And they said, "We have here only, they use that word. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They answered. And what does Jesus say? "Oh, well, I guess we send them away." No, Jesus says, "Bring them here." "Oh, good. Bring them." That's great. Not an only. Jesus doesn't have an only attitude. Do you have an only attitude? Are you saying the word only when you look at your life? Jesus is saying, "Great. Bring that here. I can use that." Yeah. Oh my goodness. Thousands of hungry people, and there are 5 loaves of bread, and there are 2 fishes. What a pathetic supply. That meal is hardly even worth recognizing compared to the tremendous need. It's so easy to have that attitude. But do you know what Jesus does next? Given our topic, you can probably guess. And he directed the people to sit down in the grass. Sit down! He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven. Oh, help me to be like you, Jesus. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. And he broke the loaves, then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't take the little offering that you have and ridicule it ever. He takes it. He lifts it up to the Father, and he thanks. You need to take the broken little things that you've got, the things that you are embarrassed about, take them, lift them up to heaven, and give thanks. And watch what will happen, because you have a miraculous thanks living inside of you. Jesus gave thanks for what he had. Listen, it may not be enough, but give thanks. Give thanks. Thankful people experience miracles. Verse 20, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. I wonder, is there a miraculous thank you in this place? Is there a miraculous thank you, Jesus, for what I have in my life in this place? Oh. He lifted it up to heaven. And he thanked God. And in the end, there was more left over than what he started with. Amen, amen. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. And he was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. Wave your hand at me if you know this story. Yes. Oh, man. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. 10 lepers, all 10 of them, received a miracle. Just at the words of Jesus, as they went, they were cleansed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. Is it okay to praise God in a loud voice? And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Is that what he did?
Yes.
And then there's this addendum. And he was a what?
A Samaritan.
One of the lepers. A Samaritan. Samaritans were looked down on by most Jews. There was a whole history full of beef with those that lived in Samaria. This one unlikely Samaritan noticed something. Now, all 10 of them received a miracle. Is that correct? Hey, please sit down. Please sit down. All 10 of them received a miracle. But this one Samaritan noticed he was being healed as he was going. And he decided to turn around and to praise God. Can you please separate my 2 children here? Thank you. We will talk about that later, gentlemen. Everyone, back to me. He noticed something as he was returning. He noticed he was being cleansed. He noticed that the word of God was true. He noticed it. So he throws himself at the feet of Jesus and he begins to thank him. Verse 17, Jesus asked, "Where are all the other 10? Were not all 10 cleansed?" We're all 10 cleansed. Yes. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? You see, the other 9 were busy enjoying the miracle. Nothing wrong with enjoying the miracle. He gives you the miracle to enjoy. But they were too busy enjoying the blessing to actually thank the one who had blessed them. Church, are we like that? Are we like that? Have you received a lot of blessing in your life? It ought to show up in your worship. It ought to show up in your devotion. It ought to show up in your service. But the one leper who thanked God, he received something far greater than his healing. And a lot of people miss this when they read the scripture. Verse 19, then he said to him, Jesus says to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now he's already been cleansed, but now Jesus pronounces him well. All 10 lepers are healed of their leprosy, but the one who returned was made well. Other translations say, "Your faith has made you whole." In other words, when the Samaritan leper thanked Jesus, not only was his leprosy gone, but all the effects of the leprosy were gone. All the scars of the leprosy were gone. Everything that the leprosy had taken from him was gone. And now he was well. He was whole. Now, can I tell you something? Now he actually didn't need to go to the priest to show himself clean, because he was obviously clean. It looked like he had never had leprosy after he threw himself in thankfulness at the feet of Jesus. I'm telling you that God has blessed you, but when you forget to turn around and thank him, you are missing out on a greater miracle. A greater miracle. He was completely and miraculously restored. Do you have a miraculous thank you inside of you today? Oh, we're in church. You could be around a lot of other people that are like, no, I'm going to worship at this level. Or I'm going to, you know, my hands only go this high. And like, I don't know what that is. But it's a weird thing. You kind of go with the room sometimes. Y'all know what I'm saying? You kind of go with the room. I want to tell you that Samaritan did not go with the room. That Samaritan turned around and said, I don't care where y'all are going. I'm going back to this guy because I see something happening in my life and I just have to thank him. I've got to thank him. Can I tell you that I don't care where the direction of a service is going. It is always...
Thank you. Miracles happen when you thank the Lord. We're about to open up this altar. I charge you to come thank the Lord and to receive a miracle right now. Come right now. Everyone watching, listening online, come on. There's a miracle in your thank you. Begin to thank the Lord. I know you're in the middle of the journey, but you can thank him right now. And as you are thankful, it will draw you and carry you very in much into the destination that he's called you to be. I charge you to come and thank the Lord. I charge you to come receive a miracle. Come take your next step in thankfulness. Come on, lift your hands.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.